definitely lifted up my spirits, especially after that Canucks loss last night. How many of you watched the game? Yeah, actually, I didn't get to watch any of it. I didn't even watch the replays or anything. I was just following it on my NHL app, and wasn't it amazing that they managed to blow a 3-goal lead? maybe next year. You know, playoff hockey is so addicting. You know, watching playoffs of any sports is addicting, isn't it? But you know what I found just as addicting growing up was watching cartoons on Saturday morning and weekdays after school. You know, you see, we didn't have the internet back then in the 80s. And so we just couldn't watch stuff on demand like Netflix and YouTube and such. So I always try to make it home on time to watch my favorite shows before dinner. And one of my favorite cartoons to watch was The Transformers. Is it going? Sorry, just a second. Let me just try this again. Great. Sorry for the technical difficulties. Here we go. All right, The Transformers, one of my favorite cartoons. For those of you who don't know who The Transformers are, it's actually a cartoon based on robots coming from outer space and disguising themselves as vehicles, airplanes, and other mechanical objects. There were the good guys called the Autobots, and then the bad guys called the Decepticons. And if you want to know more about this old 80s cartoon, or you know, even you know, you can basically watch them on YouTube, or you can even watch those Michael Bay blockbuster movies. Anyway, the thing that attracted me the most in watching these shows was the fact that these robots could actually change from vehicles and then back again. Little did people know that beneath this normal-looking vehicle, or this car exterior, was this powerful 40-foot giant robot. I mean, what's not to like for a 15-year-old, right? Robots and cars. My brother, you know, he ate this stuff up, and even till today, he collects the toys and stuff. Even the theme music I loved. It was The Transformers, More Than Meets the Eye. Autobots rage their battle to destroy the evil forces of the Decepticons. The Transformers, and then you go, digitized, robots in disguise. Well, you know, enough about reliving my childhood. A lot of you must be wondering why the title of my sermon is Transformer, More Than Meets the Eye. Am I going to be preaching about robots from outer space? Actually, the connection I want to make here is that we know a transformer who changes a believing Christian from the inside out and empowers him or her for ministry here on church on the earth. He is the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And as we've read today's passage in John, the Holy Spirit is described as an advocate. Other versions say helper, counselor, comforter, encourager. You know, in the biblical Greek, the word used is paraclete. And Jesus describes the Spirit as another comforter, meaning another of the same kind. You see, the background of today's passage is that Jesus was speaking to his disciples shortly after the Last Supper. His task on earth was almost finished, And he knew that after he returned to his father, that the disciples would be scattered across the Roman Empire, preaching the good news of God's kingdom. Jesus was leaving his disciples with final words, sort of like, you know, what a coach does with his team before the big game. But Jesus' pep talk contained words of instruction, words of comfort, words of love, and words of prayer for them and believers to come. You know, Jesus told his followers that he would be going away, but at the same time, he would remain with them and future believers. So how is this possible? Physically, he would not be here on the earth, but Jesus assures us that the Spirit of God would come to his disciples and dwell in them, taking the place of their master's literal presence. Now, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, one with the Father and the Son. And maybe for some of you trying to understand the Trinity, it's a little bit difficult. And so here are a couple of ways that have helped me, and maybe that can help you make sense of this concept. Think of the Trinity like the Son, where God, Father, is the Son. Jesus is the light coming from the Son. And the Holy Spirit is this invisible heat that you feel from the Son. Another way may be looking at this object. This is an egg where it's three parts: yolk, white, and shell. All three put together make one egg. Maybe, you know, this has helped me quite a bit because we see water every day, and even as we, you know, we were watching or singing the songs today in one of the backgrounds, there was crashing waves of water. Water is liquid. It's also ice, but it's also vapor. And water molecule is actually composed of three parts, two hydrogen to one oxygen atom. And like God, it is in three parts. You know, personally, I see water in all its forms. Whenever I see it, I see God. Don't we all stand in wonder at the raging surf, the beauty of waterfalls, and the magnificence of glaciers? Snowflakes, they show their simplicity, and yet they're so complex at the same time. And they truly echo God's mysterious and beautiful nature. A cup of cold water heals and quenches one's thirst, just like the great physician. And drinking hot water or warm water soothes and comforts one's body, just like the Holy Spirit comforts one's spirit. Water is clean, it's clear, and it's pure like holy God. Water is like the Spirit when it is missed. Water is life-giving and cleansing like Jesus the Son, and we need water to live. Water is like the awesome might of the Father in the crashing waves of the ocean. Now, by no means are these complete definitions of the Trinity. For how can we, finite beings, truly describe an infinite God? At least it can give us a small degree of understanding of who God is. But let me clear up the air about a popular misconception of the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is not some impersonal force. He is a person. He cannot be seen, for he is like the wind. John 3:8 says, "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, and you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going." And so it is with everyone born of the Spirit. In Scripture, he is not an it. He's not referred to as an it. He is referred to as he. The Spirit exhibits characteristics of a person. He has intelligence. He possesses a mind. He has emotions. He can be grieved and even insulted. He has a will and that he makes choices. Second, the Holy Spirit does things a person does. He teaches, he guides, he commissions for ministry, and he speaks and issues commands to us. He prays for us in intercession, and he convicts us concerning sin in our lives. As I mentioned earlier, he is the comforter, paraclete, to the believer. I'll tell you a story about Jax when he was first born. When Jax was born, like most Asian kids, he was a little bit jaundiced. So he was required to spend some time under blue light. So jaundice is this condition of the skin there because of your liver not being able to process the waste. So your skin looks a little bit yellow, right? So Tracy and I had to make a decision on giving him this blue light therapy. So we asked, how long would this take? And the doctor said, a couple of days. And we wanted to do what was best for our child. So we agreed, but little did we know what this blue light therapy would entail. You see, we had to blindfold Jax, to protect his eyes. And if you can see in this image, this is not the image that it was just something I picked off the internet. But if you can see, the baby's blindfolded to protect their eyes. And then he was stripped down basically to his diaper. And next we would place him in this plexiglass box. And then we would basically switch on the button and then just sit there and then watch as our newborn frantically wriggled about and basically he was just crying his lungs out. All this little boy wanted was his mama and his daddy to hold him. All he wanted was the comfort of being swaddled in a warm blanket. All we as parents could hope for was for him to fall asleep during these sessions of therapy. I'll tell you frankly, it was mentally and physically draining. It was a trying time for us. And this little baby must have been wondering, why did you leave me alone in this noisy, claustrophobic box? I can't see. Get this blindfold off of me. Throughout this ordeal, I would even try to talk to him, comfort him, let him know that, daddy was here. And it's heartbreaking doing this, and I had to many times hold my tears back in these therapy sessions. But after each session was through, I would take Jax out and hug him really tight and let him know daddy and mama were here. Likewise, the Holy Spirit wants to comfort us, to help us. He sees and he feels the pain that we go through and wants to reassure us that we are not alone. Even though we can't see him, he is by our side, holding our hands and embracing us throughout our times of despair. And if you listen close enough, you can hear his gentle whisper, I'm here with you. Don't be afraid. You'll be all right. Our scripture says today, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. The Holy Spirit is not some impersonal force. He is the living, feeling, Almighty God. And how do we know that the Holy Spirit is God? Scripture tells us that he has the characteristics and attributes of God. He has omniscience, so he knows all things. The Spirit is omnipresent. You cannot escape his presence. He is eternal. There's truth in him. And he's the counselor. The Bible also tells us that he does things that only God can do. The Spirit was there and participated in the creation, giving life to all things. He inspired and authored Scripture itself. He regenerates where we were once dead in our sins. He gives us eternal life. And he does the miraculous, where everything seems impossible, he does the impossible. He is called God, identified as co-equal along with the Father and Son. You see, the Spirit of God is not different from the Son of God in essence, for both are God. So knowing that the Holy Spirit is God himself dwelling in us, I want us to move on and focus on his role of transformer. Not that he changes into something else, by that he changes or affects the believer's life. There is more than meets the eye in a follower of Christ. On the outside, he or she may appear normal, but on the inside dwells the living God. And today I'd like to take a look at three ways the Holy Spirit brings about this transformation to a believer. First, the Holy Spirit transforms the unbeliever into a child of God. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we become sons of God through adoption. Ephesians 1:5 says, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. And with this sonship, the Holy Spirit seals us forever. The Holy Spirit is referred to as the deposit or the seal or earnest in the hearts of Christians. He is God's seal on his people. In other words, his claim on us as his very own. And the Greek word translated earnest in these passages basically means a pledge. That is part of the purchase money or property given in advance as security for the rest. The gift of the Spirit to believers is a down payment on our heavenly inheritance. It is because of the Spirit that he has sealed us and we have assurance of salvation. And the beautiful part about this is no one can break the seal of God. As adopted sons of God, we are treated as firstborn heirs. In effect, become royalty because we are co-heirs with Jesus. We become children of the King. So right now, even if you turn to your next door neighbor there and call him Prince so-and-so or Princess so-and-so, you'd be accurate, I guess. Believers have been given this privilege of sharing Christ's inheritance, and this inheritance includes salvation, eternal life, and even a measure of the throne of Christ. Isn't that amazing? But in addition to this regenerative power of the Holy Spirit, he transforms believers to become more like Christ. This is so ultimately that the Father would be glorified, and that more people would be brought into the kingdom of heaven. The Spirit helps change our attitudes, and he works on the areas of our lives that need changing. Now, this transformation is a journey that every Christian experiences, and then at times can be a little painful. Imagine yourself as a solid rock of marble, solid block of marble. And God, as the sculptor, who's chipping away at the marble. Now imagine you, as the marble, can feel pain. There are times when God will use his sculpting tools to remove small chips. Not so bad. It's like, feels like a little pinprick, right? But other times, he will need to remove huge chunks of marble. And oh, the pain you'll feel. But it is all needed so that the sculptor, when he is finished, will reveal this marvelous work. This marvelous work of art. This masterpiece that is the image of Christ. Maybe God is trying to teach you how to be loving by placing you in situations where you have to deal with someone unlovable. Maybe your angry neighbor or that irritating classmate. Maybe God is trying to teach you patience as you wait for employment. Maybe he's teaching you self-control as you deal with your old nature and you battle the desires of the flesh. Now, Jesus never promised a bed of roses if you followed him. But he did promise us the peace of God throughout this journey. There will be times of difficulty, but know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And the Spirit works within us to become more like Jesus. Lastly, the Holy Spirit transforms believers for supernatural works on earth. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would work like this. He would come upon a person to empower them for ministry. But he would also leave a person depending on the situation. For example, Samson. So essentially, the Spirit came and went as he saw fit. In the New Testament, in this current church age, we see a shift in the Holy Spirit's activity. As I referred to before, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell a believer. He takes up a permanent residence and seals that decision of faith. Our bodies become the temple of the Holy Spirit, and he then uses us for advancing God's kingdom here on earth. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, God gives believers spiritual gifts, which include prophecy, ministry, wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, teaching, exhorting, giving, ruling, showing mercy, speaking in languages, speaking in tongues, and interpreting languages. Does every believer receive these gifts? No, not necessarily. We may have one or even multiple gifts. They are granted as an act of God's grace. And since they are given by grace, they are not based on our worthiness or even our personal abilities. But it is God's sovereign choice. But let me remind you that the purpose of these gifts is not for our own edification. They're not there to make us feel good or be holier than our brothers and sisters. No. They are not for our own personal glorification, but rather for to the glory of our Father in heaven. If you don't know what your spiritual gifts are, I encourage you to take a spiritual gifts test. You can find them online. Or even better, speak to one of our pastors or ministry leaders, and they can maybe give you something, a test on paper. And I'm 100% positive that you will find one gift there. The important thing is to figure out what this gift from God is and use it to serve in his kingdom. And as I close today's message, I want you to know that the Holy Spirit can be a powerful influence in a Christian. But here's the catch. There's a catch. It involves you yielding to Him. God can use you for great things, for teaching, for prophesying, for healing, etc., to advance His kingdom here on earth. But you have to let His Spirit fill you and take control of your life. Have you ever heard of these terms, filled by the Holy Spirit and being baptized by the Holy Spirit? I want to explain to you the difference between filling of the Holy Spirit and being baptized by the Holy Spirit. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is establishing our position in Christ. It's a one-time event that occurs when we receive salvation and the seal of the Holy Spirit. So when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is entirely a work of God. So in contrast, the filling of the Holy Spirit is this. It is providing power for serving Christ. It is a repeated event. You can be filled and filled again in your ministry journey. And it requires an action on our part. Our yieldedness. Our openness for being used by God. The Holy Spirit cannot affect deep change in our lives unless we voluntarily submit to Him. Now, a pastor many years ago taught me that the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will never force His way in your life or try to force you to do things against your will. You know, remember Jesus' statement in Revelation 3:20. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. The story behind this painting, if you notice, I don't know if you can see it on the slides. The door, if you notice, has no handle. It's on the inside. And if we are to open that door, we on the inside have to open it from the inside and let Him in. God wants us to follow and serve Him out of our own will. And we need to be in a posture of submission, down on our hands and knees, in full surrender to Him, in order for this deep change to occur in our lives. Yielding to the Spirit involves communion with God in the form of prayer and in being in His Word continually. Why? This renews our mind. And it helps us understand the will of God and the mind of God so that we can become more like His Son. Like our church's theme this year, many of you are desiring deep change within. But this is only possible when we renew our minds in God's Word. You know, don't think that God cannot use you. Don't be afraid. Many of us feel timid, shy, and even awkward when it comes to speaking to people about the gospel. And I'm sure some of you even struggle to look at other people in the eye, even here in church. What would I say? How about, hello, how are you? How's your week been? I encourage you to pray to God for boldness. Ask Him to make you a blessing to others and for His Spirit's love to pour out on everyone you meet. Our passage today talks about the Holy Spirit teaching us all things and reminding us of what Jesus said. He will work in our weakness and give us inner peace, a peace that can only come from God. We have this invisible Spirit of God dwelling us, who is the Transformer. He transformed us to be children of God and is continually transforming us to become like his Son. We may look calm, unassuming, and relatively normal on the outside, but we are more than meets the eye. I'm going to call upon our worship team as we close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this message today. Thank you for your Spirit, for it lives within us and helps us make sense of who you are. Father, I pray that we, your people, would have courage, Father, to seek and proclaim the good news to every facet of life that we walk in, whether it will be at home or at school, at work. Allow your Spirit to guide us and to remind us of the things that your word has written. I pray for power, Lord, that only comes from you. And I pray for our attitudes to be changed. Our attitudes to be changed from being selfish, looking inward, to looking unto others, and to seeing and trying to be a blessing to them, Lord. So, Father, as we just continue our service, we want to sing praise songs to you. We want to commit the rest of this time to you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.